Hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials. Gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full-service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required, and yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations. I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour two with the big boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. To your phones, as promised. Andy in Boston, lead us off this hour. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi, guys. I'm just wondering if out loud here is Bill Belichick, did he get married? The only reason I say that is that I noticed during the season he was wearing one of these big wedding. It looks like a wedding ring. It could be a one of those fitness ones now. Yeah. The new
Andy.
And
what's the point if he did? What do you like?
The reason I bring it up is that why he's taking a month off and not going to Senior Bowl. And I know he was married before, and maybe he's trying to...
Well, let me tell you, Andy, you know, whether he's married or not, he loves lovely Linda, and they've got a good life together, and I think he's enjoying more of life. I think that's obvious.
Yeah.
So whether he's married or not, I think that's real.
Is he living, sleeping, breathing the job 24/7 like he did 10, 15 years ago? No.
Doesn't feel that way.
No.
So he doesn't need to be married for that to be the case, and good for him in his life. But I do feel the professional side is suffering. And the team is suffering because of it. I do.
Yeah, I know what the caller meant, though. Like, he's talking about, is the relationship more important to him than it might have been 30 years ago? And, again, if we're going to look at Brady and say Giselle's in his ear, and that's the reason he walked away from football.
Of course.
Then absolutely we look at it with Bill.
I mean,
and by the way, I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just saying that the guy is 70 years old. And, you know, there was a post on Instagram the other day. I don't know, Murray, if you saw it. It was Linda Holiday's account where, you know, she's got, like, her leg up in the air and he's holding the leg up. And
it's yesterday for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it was a Valentine's Day post.
Yeah,
it was a Valentine's Day post.
Can
I see it?
Holding up one of her gams right here. Here you go, Mike. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he looks so comfortable doing that, Bill, doesn't he?
And the post reads, "Happy
Linda.
Happy Valentine's Day to the man that still melts my heart and makes me laugh after 15 years. You stole my heart a long time ago. I found love when I found you.
I liked it.
Yeah. like literally gave it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, no,
thumbs up emoji.
I clicked on the little heart
Tony
emoji.
Tony Mazzarotti.
I liked it.
But, Gasper, too. What a sellout. With the
oh, Gasper liked it?
Clapping hands emoji.
No.
Love that.
Oh, you
he
fraud.
Writes, love that. So adorable.
Gasper.
Really is.
Boo.
He is such
Boo.
A...
He's
Boo. A, he's a butt kisser,
goes
isn't he?
Over to TV what and one year and he is. Sells out.
And by the way, that is from Mar-a-Lago, if you care. I mean, she's... I just know it because I saw the pictures from Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. It's the same lovely outfit that she's got on. Either way, you know, as Bedard has pointed out, and he pointed this out to me in Mike Reese's thing about Matt Patricia maybe taking over on offense, he just slipped in a line about the coaches coming back in the office next week. Next week?
I think he meant this week. Yeah.
Or this week.
Yeah.
Either way.
After a couple weeks off.
It's like, where have they been? And does that stand out to you?
It does, because, look, normally what happens is Bill has the guys do the TPS reports for a couple days after.
TPS?
It's an Office Space reference. You should get that, but you didn't.
You've made it before. about.
I've made it before.
Oh, you've made it before?
So I just, know where he made it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I didn't know what it meant either. I just kind of was going along with it.
But, you know, normally to do that for a couple days, you know, maybe meet with some of the players. You know, and then, but, you know, they keep having earlier and earlier exits. I mean, last year I gave them a pass not coaching the Senior Bowl because it was a long COVID year. Everybody was tired. Bill had already given the time off. By the time the Senior Bowl came and said, hey, these teams passed, you have a chance. And Bill's like, no, I already gave the guys a week off. It's been too tough of a season. I'm going to let them go. But this year, they're done in the first round exit, and Bill can't be bothered to go to the Senior Bowl. I mean, maybe he didn't want to be hounded knowing that McDaniels was leaving by, because basically you get a bunch of guys who come up to you and basically like, hey, I'd love to work for you. Can I do, you know, maybe he didn't want to be hounded, but still. With Ziegler gone and not knowing what you're going to do with the personnel department, it'd be nice to have the general manager at the Senior Bowl where you pluck players left and right every year.
Never mind all the gossiping about the staff.
Yeah.
And the staff. He's got five openings on offense. He's got openings in the front office. And like, isn't that a huge networking situation?
I think all those events are basically. I mean, you see everybody there. You can get all kinds of info.
So
maybe he took the whole staff to Jamaica.
Well, but like, good for him and Linda, like on that level. But I prefer the maniacal 24/7 imbalanced,
ill-adjusted
coach and quarterback. Like, no, I'm going to sacrifice my family time for football. That's what I want. I'm sorry.
I know nothing worse than people maturing
and spending more time with the family. Like, well, no, do that on your own time. And when you retire, this is about football. I'm only half kidding. Jimmy, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jimmy.
So I apologize if you've already mentioned this, but in regards to why McVay is better than Belichick at this particular moment is because McVay just did what Belichick has been pining to do, and that's win a Super Bowl with just a top 15 quarterback. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, never mind. Go to another with a bottom 15 quarterback. I mean, I put the whole thing of a piece. I put it all together. Five straight winning seasons. Four playoff appearances, two trips to the Super Bowl, one championship with a bad quarterback and a good but not great quarterback. Bill's never come close to doing anything like that.
No, and I'll tell you, before anybody, and I'm not saying the caller was doing this, but before anybody suggests that is some sort of blueprint or template for the Patriots, let's just remember in the same breath that the Rams spent a lot of resources, whether it's draft picks or money or both, to build the roster around him. Because the roster around Stafford was ridiculous. So the Patriots, you want to say you want to win with a middle-of-the-road quarterback, fine.
See, I don't think Stafford's middle of the road.
You think he's higher than that?
Yeah, I think he's top 10.
Okay, but let's just say that the caller is, for the sake of argument, let's just say he is 15.
Yeah.
Okay? Is the rest of their roster 15?
No, they got some high-end talent around there.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So again, you want to tell me you can win with a 10 to 15 quarterback? Okay, fine. Are you going to put your money into the roster the way they did? Because I don't think the Patriots are doing that.
Well, let's see. They've got their rookie contract. They got the quarterback on the rookie contract that they've been pining for. You can't just spend 1 year and then stop spending. You got to take advantage of that rookie contract, the balance of the rookie contract. That's the whole point of the thing.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you know, I do think your point is valid. It's very valid. But I do think the Patriots have some of the pieces to get there. It's just a question of whether they will get there or not. So, you know, Matthew Judon is their Von Miller.
Yeah, he's high end.
Yeah, they don't have an Aaron Donald in the middle. That would be nice. Maybe Barmore, he's not going to get the Aaron Donald level, but Barmore could be an elite interior pass rusher.
Yes. I'll give you that. Yes.
They lack the cornerback. That's going to be J.C. Jackson, I assume, is not going to be back here next year.
You don't think they franchise him?
I think they franchise him. I think they trade him. I don't think they're interested in investing in him long term. I don't know that. I'm just saying that's what I think is going to happen. I mean, but I don't think J.C. Jackson is Jalen Ramsey. I don't think he's Stephon Gilmore. They need to find that cornerback. I'm just looking for more difference maker. You need a difference maker at wide receiver. They don't have one. You know, they have good tight ends, but they need to get more. That's what you need to do. That's where their talent fell off, is where they don't have the elite guys, the blue chippers, and that sort of exposed their middle level to their roster.
Tommy and Lynn. Hi, Tommy. What do you got?
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say. I'm happy for the Rams that they won the Super Bowl. Thank God Stafford won a ring. because he doesn't have to hear anything about Detroit anymore because he had that Detroit in his head, I think. But he got it out of his head, winning that Super Bowl, even though he sucked. But it was a good game still to watch.
Okay, Tommy, he didn't suck. He was pretty good in that game. Don't listen to these guys. We've got 10 questions with Greg Bedard coming your way right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did, reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to stay on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week, please?
Jones is your quarterback for the next whatever it might be. Belichick's coaching. I'm not making a big deal about Alabama.
Okay. We only got one clear Belichick. And that was it. I do like the pronunciation of Alabama, though. Next.
For Daniel Tice.
I want to vomit.
That was our analysis of the Daniel Tice trade. Sean McVay, greater than Bill Belichick. Thank you. I stand by it.
I heart Bobby Portis.
Portis.
I heart him.
Couldn't get it out of my mouth. Tough day on Wednesday. Go ahead.
I sausage emoji Giannis. You know you like your team.
Eggplant.
Eggplant emoji Giannis. Absolutely. Next.
Yo, man, where are we going to Pound Town tonight? What you got? What you got? Like they were lining up their ass.
That was Giannis and LeBron in a commercial break at the Staples Center, whatever, crypto.com. Next.
Whee!
Yeah, now winning a Super Bowl is a big deal. Go ahead.
This hour of Felger and Mass. Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Okay.
It's a rough week.
Another highlight from Wednesday. Go ahead, hit it.
Whee!
Okay, number 10. This is where we get to all the ancillary Super Bowl stuff that a lot of people do on Monday, like the halftime show and all of this. We talked all game yesterday, so we'll do this here. Number 10, what did you make of the halftime show, Greg?
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I mean, I love the music. It's out of my teenage years, college years. It was great, but, you know, still, I'm a U2 guy. I love the U2 halftime show in 2001, so for me, that's always going to be the top.
So I'm not a huge rap guy. I liked it. I thought it was terrific. I loved it. I loved just about every second of it. I thought it was pretty good.
Excellent, nostalgic for Gen Xers like me, but I thought 50 Cent was the dud. He hit the brakes in the performance. A-minus overall.
Yeah, so, I thought looked good, sounded good. Oh, it was excellent. Excellent. And not my music either, necessarily, that I ever really gravitated to, but it was all accessible, meaning they played the hits. You could all recognize them. And I don't know. I thought it was excellent. Next.
For Daniel Tice.
I want to vomit.
What was your favorite and least favorite commercial?
The Larry David commercial. I thought it was hilarious. And that stupid QR code bouncing on the screen. That was dumb.
Okay, my favorite was the Michelob one where they're all bowling and then Serena walks in and they're all terrified. I'm a sports guy. I like that one. You don't remember the one I'm talking about.
I do remember the one you're talking about.
I like that one. The one I didn't like that I thought absolutely sucked and might have been one of the worst Super Bowl commercials I've ever freaking seen, Super Bowl or otherwise for that matter, was the one with Miley Cyrus singing for T-Mobile, was it? That was absolute freaking crap. What a piece of crap that commercial was. Wow, did that suck.
They all sucked, but the only memorable one was the Coinbase QR code because it made you stop me. Like, all right, what the hell is this? Is this going anywhere? Because that was the only memorable one. And the worst of the bunch to me was Matthew McConaughey in space for
Salesforce, a customer service company? Like, get out of my face with that.
You thought they all sucked, Mario? You didn't like any of them?
I really didn't. None of them really stood out. The only one, again, that was memorable was the QR code.
Boy, you hated the game. You hated the commercial. You must have had a lousy night there.
Murray hates life.
Jesus.
Again,
why didn't you watch a show? Why didn't you flip the channel?
Just enough.
Here
with
we
this.
Go. Same as yesterday. Yeah.
I did also like the one with the mechanical dog and the electric car where the mechanical dog sticks his head out the window at the end. I like that.
This new positive Felger where everything's awesome.
Like, if you hate,
don't disagree with Felger. God forbid.
I'm just saying, if you hated the game and hated the commercial, then what are you watching?
Like, well, the wife and
it's
I already,
on.
We already
it's the Super
right.
Bowl.
We already watched Yellow Jackets, so we got to watch the game.
God, Felger.
Inventing
God. If it wasn't awesome, if it wasn't the Super Bowl, why are you watching? Like, it's like the argument that I have with you every year about the quarterback. And because I don't conform to your opinion, you beat these guys over the head with it.
You
it
do.
Was like listening to me on the radio with
you're
you
a
yesterday.
Bully.
For
if
4 hours.
If I don't like a TV program, I turn it off.
You're a take bully.
It's a sport. It's a live sport. We do sports talk radio. We have to watch even if we don't love it.
Oh, if you know the number and you do know the number of sports talk show hosts who just don't watch.
Take terrorists.
Well, that's like 90% of the time.
Not here.
The guys aren't
Everybody
watching.
Everybody knows the work here.
Well, tell us, editor of Adweek, which were the best commercials?
I gloss over all of them. I mean, like, I'm not into that. I'm facilitating here.
Murray and I yesterday were taking
Where'd you
hostages.
Wake up on Wednesday?
What? I'm sorry. Why are you bringing that up?
I just felt like it.
Number eight. Hit it.
I heart Bobby Porce. I heart him.
Number eight, what did you make of the Dwayne Johnson hype intro?
Oh, another stupid thing. I could just hear the NFL meeting with those idiots just being like, you know what would be great? We get The Rock and he does an on-field introduction. It would be awesome. And it's the only thing that makes sense in an NFL boardroom.
I'll tell you what.
Everyone else is stupid.
I like The Rock. That was dreadful. And those clothes he was wearing, the pants, he looked like my old high school gym teacher with those pants on. Wow, was that pathetic.
Corny, too drawn out, get to the kickoff.
Which sucked. Stu, how did you feel about The Rock?
I thought it was terrible. Announced that you're doing WrestleMania.
I agree. I like The Rock. I thought he embarrassed himself. He lowered himself.
I love The Rock. Don't get me wrong. I love The Rock,
same.
But terrible. Don't interfere in my Super Bowl. Just go do WrestleMania.
Okay, so I don't get that reference. Is he not in WrestleMania? Is he in WrestleMania? Is he supposed to announce he's in WrestleMania? I have no idea what that line meant.
Me neither.
Okay, just announce WrestleMania,
again, which happens all
it's
the time
as
with
clear
Stu.
As that.
Like, what?
Yeah.
No, Jimmy. Now you're being take hostage.
Give me someone else to yell at.
What does it mean? Just announce WrestleMania.
I mean, did I stumble?
What does that mean? You want him in WrestleMania? Announce that you're going to be in WrestleMania.
You know what?
Stop taking the channel.
I sausage emoji, Giannis.
Watch a TV show.
You know you like your team.
Eggplant.
Number seven. Has anyone here invested in crypto? Any believers, whether you have or not?
No, and no.
No. Stop take terrorism.
No, giant Ponzi scheme. And by the time something like this gets to someone like me and regular Ham and Eggers, the real money's been made by all the rich.
Didn't you have
a
Super Bowl week interaction with crypto bros at the bar or something?
Oh, the
like
first
that?
Two nights. The first two nights, people talking to me about NFTs and cryptos and how it's the future. Like, enough. I don't want to hear about it. Explain how it works in a sentence. Explain blockchain in a sentence. You can't do it. Here's how you talk about money. Goods and services exchange for currency. Crypto? Well, give me like a half hour. Shut up. Ponzi scheme. Fake. I hope you lose everything.
No, I'm with you up until that last part. But boy, do these people, the crypto hippies, get out of my face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, taking them by the throat and slamming them up against. So get out of my face. Stop. I got it. All right. Enjoy yourself.
Is your buddy from the bar in Manhattan Beach, is he a crypto guy?
No, he could very well. He's a weed guy. But, you know.
Him I liked. He was all right.
Yeah, no. You can wrap your head around buying weed, selling weed. Like, that makes sense to me.
My kind of guy. He's a good guy.
Blockchain. Go F yourself. Next.
Wee!
What's the biggest tool bag of Super Bowl 56?
Vernon Hargraves. The guy that came off the
That's
bench.
That's a great one.
Penalty. Oh, my God. And flip-flops.
I second the motion. That guy, what a freaking tool bag. Dude, you weren't even in uniform and you got a 15-yard penalty. You loser. Stay away.
Refs for the bag job at the end, handing the game to the Rams.
The back judge who threw that flag on Wilson definitely deserves mention. Next.
This hour of Felger and Maz. Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Okay, speaking of which, given the latest spate of officiating questions from that game, do you think, Greg, the NFL should institute a sky judge official?
Yes. I like how college football does it, where they don't even need to challenge. They just, when they see something wrong on replay, they correct it.
Yeah, I do. I like that idea, too. I always have. I love the idea of having a guy up there sort of watching over the whole thing.
Yeah, whatever can help police the police, for lack of a better term. I think you implement it because you can't have what happened at the end of that game on Sunday happen again.
So I don't know. I do want the sky judge. It has to be implemented properly, meaning just the biggest of the big decisions that are the most obvious of obviously wrong. So we can all get on with our lives and make a quick change. And they kind of do it now, sort of off the record sky judge stuff. But I don't know if the sky judge changes that call. You know, do you want the sky judge changing that call? I mean, the answer is yes, but there's a slippery slope. Now he changes that one. Now he's got to change another. It's like, I don't know if it fixes that problem.
No, that call wouldn't get fixed, but the face mask on the PI would.
Yeah, maybe you're right on that. All right, so yes, I'm a yes on the sky judge. Next.
For Daniel Tice.
I want to vomit.
Number four, if you were the Cardinals, would you make Kyler Murray a top five highest paid quarterback in the league? Because I don't care what anyone says. This latest thing with him and the team has to be over money. So would you pay him top five money?
I would not. Nope. I would find a different way. He, every season with him is the same. He's the MVP at the halfway point, and then he gets hurt too often because he's too small, and they fade down the stretch and just go into oblivion. I would not pay him.
I'll tell you what the biggest factor for me was in this whole thing was the way he played against the Rams in the playoffs. My answer is no. I have never seen a quarterback.
So what would you do? Trade him?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I would. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with that guy. I think he completely freaking unraveled in that game against the Rams. He crapped his pants. He made Jimmy Garoppolo look like Joe Montana.
I think you pay him and fire Cliff Kingsbury. He puts asses in seats and makes them relevant. You're going to go back into the pool and try to draft another quarterback? No, he's that talented, high ceiling. You pay him.
Next. Does Stephen Ross deserve to lose ownership of the Miami Dolphins? The latest report yesterday, Mike Florio said that the NFL believes that they will be able to prove that he incentivized Brian Flores losing games, offering him $100,000 to the point where Stephen Ross knows the league has the goods on him. And Stephen Ross is going to say that he was joking. So this is either on tape or there's eyewitness accounts of people overhearing Stephen Ross say this. His defense will be that he was joking when he said it. Should he, to this point, if we learn nothing else new from this, should he lose ownership of the Dolphins?
If there's evidence, yes, he should lose it.
100% he should. Absolutely. You have owners documented as trying to blow games. Bye-bye. See you later. You're done.
Yeah, if that's true, force him to sell to a Tom Brady-led ownership group where Brady's first order of business is to name himself the first ever owner/player.
Wait till you see the salary cap permutations on that puppy. But, yeah, if they want him out, he's out. I mean, it's as simple as that. And the joking thing ain't going to fly. Next.
I heart Bobby Portis. I heart him.
Give me your season-ending NFL power rankings 1 to 5, Greg.
Rams, Chiefs, Bills, Niners, Tampa Bay.
Ooh, okay.
I went Rams, Bills, Bengals, Chiefs, Niners.
I go Chiefs, Rams, Bills, Packers, Bengals. Chiefs got tripped up. They were the best team.
I don't have the Bengals in my top five.
They gagged. Buffalo played better. Buffalo would have been the team. The only reason they lost is the coin toss.
Cincinnati should have been out in the Tennessee game if Ryan Tannehill wasn't an idiot.
How can you hold gagging against Matthew Stafford in victory, but not hold gagging against Kansas City in defeat?
I like the quarterback.
Okay, there it is. Next. Yo, man, where are we going to Pound Town tonight? What you got? What you got? Like they were lining up their ass. Give me next year's Super Bowl matchup right now. Predict it.
Chiefs, Cowboys.
Buffalo, Dallas.
Buffalo Bills against Tom Brady and the Niners.
Love it.
Oh, good one, Murray.
Love it.
Good one.
Buffalo, Green Bay. I'll go.
Really?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna reverse my anti-Green Bay juju. I think they're always going to lose, and I'm right. Maybe I'll try being optimistic. Maybe I'll try that thing. You know, see if that works.
They're toast. Okay? You know who's going to get exposed? Matt LaFleur.
All right. I think he's been exposed already. There are your 10 questions. I promise. Right back to your phones after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
Hey, this is Rich for VA New England. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only non-military member of my family. My father was in Vietnam. I have an uncle who was a POW. Grandfather, cousins. I've seen firsthand their sacrifices, and because they've given the best, they deserve the best. If you or a family member served honorably for 2 years or more, you are eligible for benefits from VA New England, including health care, disability, home loans, and the GI Bill. To learn more, go to vacares.us or call 844-VA-CARES or just download the VA New England app in the App Store.
This is
is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
We tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And right back to your phones, as promised. Rick is in Woburn on the Super Bowl. Go ahead, Rick.
What's up? Yeah, I like the Beasties in the back, and that's cool. What's up, Jim? And by the way, this is for Jim Murray, if he's still there.
Yes, I'm
there.
Yes, hello.
What's up, man?
Hi.
Your favorite player is Tom Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, you want to explain all his Super Bowls, though, Ashley? You know, be honest with you. Like, you know, he didn't really earn them all. You know what I'm saying?
What about that fourth quarter Super Bowl 49 ever. Against the Seahawks? He didn't earn that one?
No. Well, you remember Malcolm Butler? I mean, you remember Julian Edelman. You remember the defense. You remember, you know, Vinatieri.
What's the point, Rick? Do you not like him? You think he's overrated?
No. Rick,
Stafford guy?
Overrated. I think Tom Brady's very overrated. I think Dan Marino's the best quarterback ever.
Okay, I'm not with you there, Rick, but let me help translate.
I agree with him.
He's picking up on yesterday's conversation that, you know, when you win a championship, your defense probably makes some plays along the way. You get some breaks along the way. And you make some mistakes along the way. And even Tom Brady won championships where those things happened, just like those things happened for Matthew Stafford the other night. That's his point. And he's obviously right.
I felt like you twisted that point to make it your own.
That's exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, I agree that that's...
He says, what about Malcolm Butler? What about Julian Edelman bailing him out? You know, it's like you get breaks along the way.
Okay,
yes.
You do. Absolutely you do. But anyone comparing Stafford to Brady, okay, is idiotic.
Which is, I don't think he's doing that. I just think he's saying, you know, and if he is, he's wrong. And I'm not doing that. It's just as an example. Like, just because you win a championship doesn't mean you were perfect or you didn't get breaks.
No, correct. Yeah, correct. I take up the bum thing with Murray. I didn't call him a bum. Murray did. I just said he was average.
Rob in Florida. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm just calling because you guys said that McVay has won the Super Bowl with less than, you know, maybe top 15 quarterback. But was Brady that when he won his first Super Bowl? No one expected him to become what he became. You know, it took Bill to tutor him, teach him, and make him as maniacal as he is or has become. But
well, so look, just go back to his first year. If Brady was an average quarterback, I think Brady still had that incredible winning quality, even though his overall play was average, I guess. But he, you know, had that poise and that, you know, that just that thing, that thing at the end of games. He had it even as a rookie. But just say he's average. Fine. Bill won one with Brady. That's probably Bill's ideal. You know, that's probably, I don't know, what he wanted to go back to if he could. And so he wants the modern day version of 2001 Tom Brady, I guess. I don't know why you would want or not want the 2018-16 version of Tom Brady, the 2007 version of Tom Brady, but I think Bill sort of romanticizes the 2001 version of Brady and what that team was. To a fault, I would say.
By the way, just because, again, this has been brought up, Brady in 01 ranked like 6th or 7th in the league in passer rating. Okay, so again,
he was always efficient and accurate.
Yes, yeah, so the volume wasn't there, right?
How many touchdown passes did he have?
I want to say 18 and 12. Yes. So again, you know, again, the volume wasn't there.
Well, he wasn't a playmaker. But,
right.
But he was, from day one, a efficient, move the chains, accurate passer.
Absolutely. So, I just think that people undersell what Brady was right out of the gate. They undersell it. I'm not telling you he was top 2 or 3. But he was better than average.
Yeah, but it was also a much different NFL back then.
You bet.
It was more about team efficiency and running the ball and playing good run defense, where today, you know, over 20 years later, it's a completely different game. It's a different conversation about the mix that you need to be competitive.
Absolutely. That little run right there, 2001-02, the quarterbacks that won were Trent Dilfer, Brady as a rookie before he was Brady, and then Rob Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was that little run in the NFL where you really could win with the middling
guy. Rob Johnson didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, for Tampa.
Yeah, Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson.
I was like, what?
Not Brad Johnson.
Johnson from the Bills?
I'm sorry, Murray?
Not the surfer Johnson.
No,
I hated that guy.
Right, the Tampa Bay Johnson, whatever the effing guy's name was. Danny in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. Great job last week, especially. But one thing I want to focus on is
you know, we see so much importance on developing the rookie quarterback, surrounding him with coaches and players that can really accelerate his development and be most beneficial. And the Patriots are seemingly not doing that at all with Mac Jones. And you can hear it as we get worried each day. So as the Rams just kind of cashed in their draft picks and said, quarterback's most important, Sean McVay is the greatest system, so if we bring in Stafford, we can get it done. Do you think the Patriots are looking at trying to go all in on a guy like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, or maybe someone else that could become available? And if not, do you think that they should be doing that?
Yes, I think they should be. I'll just stop you.
I do not. And I will say this. Like, you know, everybody likes to say, well, they're not surrounding Mac Jones with X, Y, and Z. Mac Jones was a rookie quarterback. All rookies have limitations. Like, Ja'Marr Chase can only do so much as a rookie receiver. He's going to be better in time. Tom Brady, you know, didn't even play as a rookie. If the Patriots return, just talking personnel around them, if they return just what they had this past year, they will improve. Like, I think Kendrick Bourne got better as the season. So many guys were new to this system. Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor. Just if they return what they had for a second season, they're going to be a lot better. In many ways, they were on the fringe of a top 10 offense with a rookie quarterback and a bunch of new parts. Like, I don't understand all this talk about how terrible the Patriots were and they're not surrounding Mac Jones and all. I just think that's a fallacy. It's just wrong. It's just he was a rookie and a lot of these guys were in their first year. This is what you get.
No, I don't think they were terrible, and I think they have a right, and you have a right to believe they'll get better. Absolutely. I just think if you've got a chance for a top five guy, you got to look at it. You should look at it. If you can look, if there's a chance for you to improve that quarterback position, I just think you should always be looking at it. You know, you didn't need to for 20 years. You had the best. So it's as simple as that. I think Mac Jones is good, should be good, nice player, and you should expect room for growth. But if you have a chance to get a stud, like a guy,
I want a stud.
Yeah.
No, I want Mac Jones on his rookie contract and all that. Nope.
Well, then
I'm good with Mac.
Then they better keep spending, big boy. They better keep spending.
They might need another part on offense, you know, after offseason study and all that, if that's what they determine. But I think, you know, I think Agholor is going to be a lot better. Jonnu Smith might be a lost cause. I just don't know if he's ever going to be comfortable here. And this is putting aside all the coaching questions. But I think Mac Jones is going to be, I think he's top 15 right now. I think he's going to be fringe top 10 next year, and he's going to slowly get better. Do I ever think he's going to be top five? I don't know. I think he'll be knocking on the door, but I'm just fine with Mac Jones.
Okay. The coaching thing is the most pressing. I consider him two jobs. It could be one, but he needs a guy, a mentor, a coach at his hip. And then the guy holding the play sheet on Sundays, those two things. Now, McDaniels was both. I guess O'Brien could be both, but I don't know. Like that's sort of scary. That you know, McDaniels. That was a huge role that he filled.
Absolutely. I mean,
every time Mac Jones came to the sidelines and sat on the bench, McDaniels was on his hip, on his freaking hip every time, and he held the play sheet in his hands. Like that's a big ass hole to fill.
What?
I know what you meant. You just might want to.
I stand by it. Long commercial free segment is next.
This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite is celebrating the 75th anniversary of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics with a limited edition commemorative 18-pack, now available at participating stores. So pick up the 75th anniversary 18-pack today and raise the original light beer to Boston Celtics basketball. Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Bengals ain't going to be the favorites next year. I got Kansas City. I got Buffalo, okay? I got Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens when they come back, all right? I'm paying attention to Herbert and the Chargers. I'm certainly not sleeping on the Tennessee Titans because not only do they have Derrick Henry, but they found an additional running backs, okay, with Foreman and Hilliard once Derrick Henry went down. Now, I would prefer that they get somebody other than Ryan Tannehill behind center, but that's just me. Mike Vrabel's a coach of the year for a reason, all right? But let's also look at the Bengals. You brought it up, at the tail end of your soliloquy, their offensive line is trash. We all know that. Yeah. They're horrible. Joe Burrow was sacked 51 times
right.
in a regular season, 19 in the postseason. That's 70 times this brother was sacked. Don't even account for the amount of times he was hit. You would think they would have prioritized protecting him considering the knee injury he suffered last year, but they didn't do it. So all I'm saying is when you look at all of these things, they went on a nice run come playoff time. Give them credit where credit is due. But to sit up there and say they should be the favorites coming in the next season, particularly when they've got the troubles that they have with their offensive line, I think it's one of those situations. Do I think they'll be back someday? Yes, because Joe Burrow is their quarterback. But I'm speaking specifically about next season. No, I don't have them as favorites.
So I'm with Stephen A. on that. I do not feel, and maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard. Greg, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the Bengals are an immediate impediment. I mean, they're better than you, but I don't think they're like head and tails better than you. Like, I don't look at them and go, we got a lot of work to do to catch them. I don't feel that way.
To me, it depends on what they do with their offensive line. And, you know, do they build that up in one offseason? All of a sudden now they can run and they got Burrow going play action, you know, with Higgins and Jamar Chase. You know, one thing to keep in mind for next year, to me, when I look at, the following season and how good teams are going to be, you got to look at what divisions they're playing. The AFC North next year is playing the AFC East, where Buffalo is really the only dominating team that you're going to, and the NFC South, which the NFC South is going to be hot garbage next year.
The worst division
so
of football.
So all those teams are going to be artificially inflated. The Ravens, the Bengals. So, those to me are big factors.
No, the first thing you should look at is the schedule every year.
So give me your AFC power rankings going into next year, not as it stands right now, okay, not following the season, but project it, you know, and it, just do it quickly off the top of your head. And what do the Patriots need to do to close the gap? Do you want to go first, Mass?
Sure. I would say Kansas City, Buffalo, Tennessee, Cincinnati, maybe Cincinnati, Tennessee, 3-4. I would then put...
The unknowns are Denver and Pittsburgh, because what if either of those teams gets a quarterback, you know? Pittsburgh,
okay, so but
Denver,
I think that then you get into Baltimore, maybe the Patriots.
Okay. One of you had forgotten about the Patriots.
No, I hadn't. I was trying to think who's definitely ahead of them. And those first four teams, I'd put all ahead of them. Again, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tennessee, Cincinnati. But the gap between Cincinnati and the Patriots is not big.
And I don't think the gap between Tennessee and the Patriots is big.
Yeah, and then once you get to number five, then I think you're talking about Baltimore, Patriots, the Chargers, like, you know, teams in that neck of the woods. Like the Patriots, let's not forget they were a playoff team.
I mean,
in theory, they're one of the top seven in the conference.
I think it's Buffalo and Kansas City, and I still think that's what you're looking at, depending on, Aaron Rodgers in Denver. If he goes to Denver, that changes things, and I'd put them up there too. But, you know, Cincinnati doesn't scare me, and Tennessee doesn't scare me. And, you know, Buffalo scares me. Kansas City scares me.
Those are the two elite. And then there's sort of everybody else. Now, I would put the, you know, I think the Titans, if I don't know what they have coming back next year, but I think the Patriots, if the Titans are healthy, the Patriots are not as good as the Titans, you know, even with Tannehill. I think that the Vrabel knows how to play the Patriots, and they have trouble with him.
Well, watch that one, too. Aaron Rodgers bought a house in Tennessee or whatever. Like, I think he'd go there, too.
If they get a quarterback, they're right up there with Kansas City and Buffalo.
Then I reassess.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I agree. I think that Baltimore is going to be up there, but they are a wild card because Harbaugh did so much tinkering with the coaching staff. Like, Wink Martindale, for some reason, is gone as defensive coordinator. Roman is still the offensive coordinator. I do think they're going to be better, and I think the schedule is going to be easier. For them, health and COVID sort of sent their season down the tubes. I think Cincinnati is right now better than the Patriots, but slightly. Not a big deal. If the Bengals get an offensive line, I think they're even better. Denver, depending on the quarterback, I think is a real threat. And I think the Raiders are going to be pretty good. I think they're not far away. And McDaniels, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about Devontae Adams going to the Raiders to work with Carr, who he played with in college. Mm. You know, and you put Devontae Adams on the outside there with Waller and McDaniels doing that. And, you know, they have Patrick Graham as they're going to need people on defense. But I think the Raiders are going to be pretty good.
Okay. I mean, we got to see the quarterback carousel shakes out, but the AFC West could be the best division in football next year. The NFC West is going to take a hit. I mean, again, you know, San Francisco, who the hell knows what's going to happen here? Arizona's a mess. You know, the Rams are going to lose some people. I still like the Rams. They're the best team in that division, but I think that division is going to take a hit.
All right. Give me a to-do list for the Patriots offseason now. You know, in order if you can. The coaching thing's got it. They got to settle that.
Number one, he has to go get Bill O'Brien, number one. Number two, I would love to see him swallow his pride and be the bigger man and bring Brian Flores back. You know, I think he's the only guy who can save the defense right now.
Do you franchise J.C. Jackson? What do you do with that?
Tag and trade J.C. Jackson.
I don't
think he's good enough. I think there's such a dearth in cornerback play in the league. I'm trying to find the next sort of rung down and a guy that you can develop, and also probably drafting one in the first round. I think there might be a couple good ones there who play man coverage, which is rare for college football, that they might be able to draft and sort of go that route. I think that at some point, probably around training camp time, they're going to need to find a way to trade Jonnu Smith because I don't think he's going to fit here. Hopefully, Asiasi they've carried for 2 years.
So you're bailing on Jonnu Smith?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it here.
That's
I
it.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't see any. I don't see why he should be mentored next year. He just didn't improve this year. If I saw some inklings that, like, all right, he's getting it and he's not stopping his feet when he's catching the ball and things like that, then okay, all right, it was just year one. I'm not banking on it. They're paying too much money. Left tackle, they got to figure out. I'm trading Isaiah Wynn, or I'm trying to get out from underneath half his contract.
Wow. So there's a lot of
they have a lot of holes, Mike.
Sizable things. Are you bringing back Trent Brown?
Nope.
So you're gonna swap out both your tackles?
Well, I mean,
with a new offensive line coach, whoever that might be.
Yeah, I mean, they have Heron and Kajust here. Heron showed some ability last year to play left tackle. I think Kajust could play right tackle. The other positions are set. I'm bringing back Awenu should be able to fill one of the spots, whether it's guard or tackle. We'll have to see. Right. And then, yeah, I am looking for one more weapon on the outside, but I'm going the draft route. Find somebody in the draft, for crying out loud.
At receiver.
Yes, somebody explosive.
So if you look at the Felger, Von Miller is, I'd like to see Von Miller work with Bill Belichick. I don't know if he's a system fit. He's probably not, which frustrates me. So somewhere between Von Miller and Chandler Jones, who can play in your system, both those guys are free agents. They're going to be big money, especially Von Miller coming off another Super Bowl. But they're both aged. I don't know.
Behind the ESPN paywall, they have free agent fits. They have Chandler Jones going to the Patriots.
Okay, so one of those two. Give me Von Miller or Chandler Jones. Give me some impact.
No. I'm going. Josh Uche is freaking playing next year. Like, screw this. He is playing. He's playing opposite Matt Judon. That's all you need. He's got to be on the field. And, you know, Winovich, whatever. Bye. But I'm not bringing another edge guy. Older on the downside now, and I'm paying him? No way. No, not a chance.
So I love the idea, but are they going to do an edge guy 2 years in a row?
I hope so.
No.
They have a rookie.
Go get a cornerback.
They have a quarterback on a rookie contract. That's what I keep hearing.
I want linebackers.
So what's scary is that the top two, you know who the top two corners available are? J.C. Jackson and Stephon Gilmore. Those are the top two.
I would try to bring Steph back at a reasonable salary.
I mean, I would too. I don't love their chances there. But I would do it like I would bring back one of those guys. I want them to keep spending.
I would get Godwin coming off cheap, off an injury, that type of thing.
How about Beckham cheap coming off an injury?
Nope. Not interested. And he doesn't want to be here. You know, it was really close. No, it wasn't. You know, Mac Jones was a quarterback. Tom Brady wasn't. He wasn't close to coming here.
All right, Greg. We had a good year.
We did. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Some bitchiness.
Yeah, you know, like on the normal, par for the course.
Yeah, it's like a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of bitchiness.
Yeah, and if we go all the way back to week 1, you're about half the size you were then.
I was going
to
say, true. You look like a completely different guy. How much are you down total?
A little over 80 pounds now. What? So, you know, that's awesome. To Awaken and Paige and everybody over there for that. And
that's a sponsor, right? Season. That's the people with us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Awaken 180
yes.
is on
the Awaken 180. Yes, of course.
They I'm a New England fat burn kind of guy.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Or fat burn America.
Either way. Congratulations, Greg, on the 80 pounds, making it through another year. Will we be seeing you next year?
You know, I think so. I mean,
players aren't the only one hitting free agency.
And that is true. I'm always a free agent after every football season.
80
so
pounds.
We'll see what
wow.
happens.
Can't put you on the line anymore.
Okay. Yeah, Greg, thanks again. Have a great offseason. We'll be checking in, I'm sure.
Sounds good.
Okay,
see you guys, Greg.
Here's 90 seconds, no commercials, with an update from Big Jim. Stay on the line if you want to talk football. We do just have to introduce a quick Celtics thought. We've left them to the side here the last couple of days, and they're becoming more newsworthy by the day. So we'll give you a quick Celtics minute and get back to your calls again after the update. No spot.
This Sports Hub On-Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite is celebrating the 75th anniversary of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics with a limited edition commemorative 18-pack, now available at participating stores. So pick up the 75th anniversary 18-pack today and raise the original light beer to Boston Celtics basketball. Miller Lite. It's game time. It's Miller time.